Okay. Colossians chapter 3 is what I've been on, and I just want to just share a little bit quickly about what God is putting on my heart from heaven to earth, becoming you. And I promise it's only be 10 minutes, okay? Well, maybe 15, 12. Anyway, here it is, Colossians chapter 3. And I am going to read it out of the Living Bible. You'll have to go with a different background, if that's possible. Since you became alive again. How about we read it together? Since you became alive again, so to speak, when Christ rose from the dead, now set your sights on the rich treasures and joys of heaven, where he sits beside God in place of honor and power. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend your time worrying about things down here. You should have as little desire for this world as a dead person does. Your real life is in heaven with Christ and God. And when Christ, who is our real life, comes back again, you will shine with him and share in all his glories. And one more passage. I'm going to drop down to what I want to go today. Let's read that together. Since you have been chosen by God, who has given you this new kind of life, and because of his deep love and concern for you, you should practice tender-hearted mercy and kindness to others. Don't worry about making a good impression on them. Be ready to suffer quietly and patiently. Be gentle and ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you may forgive others. And my friends, when you come to Jesus Christ, when you come to him, he deals with your past. How many think that's good? And as you just shared, you know, on the cross, he takes and forgives you for your sins. But you also rise out and you become one with him in a sense that he gives you an identity. A new one. And it starts with this truth. And if I don't go away with anything, I want to go away with this one thing. He says, I choose you. I chose my wife 8 years ago. but Hans, I thought God chose everybody. Yes, he chose you. Jesus says this in his word. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Do you know the key to overcoming the past, the key to overcoming sin, the key to withstand the temptation in your life is to know who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, you're not going to carry it out. You can only do what you believe in your heart you are, who you are. Only for so long. You can pretend for a while, but after a while, it just comes out. What does that identity really mean? It means, who are you deep inside? What do you think who you are? What is it that you value about yourself? What are the thoughts about you? It's very abstract. But it's an essence to human life. If you don't have an identity, you are completely lost. You need identity, you need purpose, and you definitely need to know that you're valued. Amen. Get your passport, they say they want to have proof who you are. But that's superficial, right? So how do I get to know who I am? How do I get to know? When we are little kids, we are planted in a home. And mom and dad tells us who we are. They give us a name. Little Caleb, who's sitting right down there. And Benjamin and Emily, they've been told over that they loved. And someday, they're going to be 13, 14, 15. And they're going to ask the question, who am I? What do I have what it takes to be a man or a woman? What am I here for? And mom and dad is going to help them, show them. When I grew up in Denmark, and I was 16, 17, I said to my dad, what shall I do in my life? And he said, go and do whatever you want to do. Find your rainbow and fulfill your dreams. There's nothing wrong with pursuing your dreams and your rainbow. But if that becomes your identity, you're set up for a failure. How many of us have watched hockey players or football players? That's the whole dream, to be a professional football player. And they become one. And they break their leg and they lose it. And then if that's your identity, you lose everything. In Judges, there is a man called Gideon. And Israel is in trouble. They have been hammered by the neighbors and stolen. The grain has been stolen. The food has been taken away from them. And they've been crying out to God. And an angel shows up and said to Gideon, God is with you, mighty warrior. He calls him mighty warrior while Gideon is hiding in a wine press making flour because he doesn't want the other people to steal his flour. So he's hiding and he doesn't feel anything but a mighty warrior. In fact, he says shortly after that, why are you choosing me? I'm from the smallest clan and I'm the least in my family. Why are you choosing me? And he says, you are a mighty warrior. But my friends, he was bitter. Because God somehow seemingly had forsaken them for a period of life. And some of you sit in this church today and there is a bitterness in you because it has not turned out the way you thought. And if God is really loving you and caring for you and he's a good God, why would he allow it to take place? And so there is a little bitterness in you. But if you let him, he will take you through a process as he did with Gideon, where he finally realized that God has chosen him and he is a good God and he will use you for all eternity, but you gotta break through the process or it won't be real to you. It will be just words on the page, but it gotta go from here to here, my friends. When it comes here to here, and it starts with, just like Gideon, I choose you, and I will bring you out of your miry clay. I will bring you out of your past. But you gotta know what I'm saying to you. You see, when he gives you his identity, it is not based on your performance, as it was with Gideon. It's not based upon how smart you are or how good a football player you are. It's based upon Jesus. You see, when you begin to see the world from heaven to earth, you begin to see what he sees about people, but also about you. And my friends, he gives you his spirit. As Marlene already quoted the scripture in Romans chapter 8, the spirit comes in you. And it says that anybody who's led by the spirits are sons and daughters of God. And you've not been given a spirit of bondage to fear, but you've been given a spirit of sonship. Crying out, Abba, Father. Amen. I was listening to a guy called Chris Valentine's, so Valentine. He said, how many have heard of Chris Valentine? Nobody. How many have heard of Chris Valentine? How many have heard of him? Okay, that's better. He shared this. He said, you get saved when you believe in Jesus, but you are transformed when you believe that he believes in you. And he said it took him about 15 months after he got saved to realize that Jesus, that God actually liked him. You see, when God actually, when you have that truth that he likes you, it's easy to be compassionate. It's easy not to hold a grudge against somebody because you don't need to defend yourself. You don't need to take an offense. Why are we trying so hard to show everybody who we are? Because we are insecure. Why do I want to tell everybody what good things I've done? Or why would I want to criticize others because somehow they're pointing out faults with me? Because I am not secure in who I am. But when I am secure in who I am, I have no problem extending grace. I can let go of my grudge. Because it's not about me. It's all about what he says about me. And here's my last point. I'm done. Last point. When you're born, you're placed in a family who helps you understand who you are. When you're born again, you're placed in the family of God. Apostle Paul had an encounter with Jesus on the road, but shortly after that, Barnabas and the first church surrounded Paul to help him become who he became. And we live in a very selfish, self-centered society where it seems to be there's no room for community. But that's not how God designed it. He designed for you and I to be placed in a community together. And in that community, he is asking of us to affirm over and over who we are in the eyes of God. So Paul writes letters. And what does he say about the church? Even some of the churches that are not so good. What did he start out with usually in the beginning? To the saints of Colossians. Look at somebody and says, you are a beautiful saint. Two people obeyed me. Can I ask the worship team to come? When Jesus gathered up his disciples, when he gathered them up, he began to declare over them who they are, who they were, who they were going to be. He called them the light and the salt of the world. He called them the chosen ones. He called them his. He called them friends. And as a church, we need to declare over one another what God says about us, that we are sons and daughters of God. Amen. And in the eyes of God, we are called saints. We are called out to be his. We are chosen. Amen. So let's stand.